Good morning. How is everyone? Oh, nonverbal. Okay, cool. My name is Michelle, and I'm a senior social work major. And I just want to welcome you all to chapel. In case you didn't know, this is Take Back the Night week. And it's a week that we have sort of dedicated to raising awareness for and just talking about sexual abuse and sexual violence and the impact that that has on both men and women. So thank you for coming and encourage you to participate as much as you feel comfortable and able throughout the chapel this morning. I'd like to start with a verse from Psalm 116. It's verses 1 through 6. And it says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. I'd invite you all to stand and join with us as we sing the song, Came to My Rescue.
Thank you. Our theme this year is Stop the Silence, Stop the Violence. Two parts of being able to speak up is, one, that we help keep each other safe, and two, that we're able to heal together. I'm going to read a story from the Bible that is difficult to listen to, and then we're going to hear an international story, and we're going to hear a personal story. I want us to think about carrying these together, understand that we all are all in this together, and that the parts that are difficult for some of us, somebody else can help with that, because we are all in this together. So Tamar's story is from 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 22. Some time passed. David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar, and David's son Amnon fell in love with her. Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of David's brother, Shimeah, and Jonadab was a very crafty man. He said to him, "O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me something to eat. Prepare the food in my sight so that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon laid down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight so that I might eat from her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, where he was lying down. She took dough, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. Then she took the pan and set them out before him, but he refused to eat. Amnon said, "Send everyone out from me." So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber so that I might eat from your hand." So Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come lie with me, my sister." She answered, "No, my brother, do not force me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do anything so vile. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the scoundrels in Israel. Now, therefore, I beg you, speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." But he would not listen to her. And being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon was seized with a very great loathing for her. Indeed, his loathing was even greater than the lust he had felt for her. Amnon said to her, "Get out." But she said to him, "No, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, "Put this woman out of my presence and bolt the door after her." Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for this is how the virgin daughters of the king were clothed in earlier times. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. But Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she went. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? Be quiet for now, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." So Tamar remained a desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard of all these things, he became very angry, but he would not punish his son Amnon because he loved him, for he was his firstborn. But Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good or bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had raped his sister Tamar. Lord God, walk with us as we hear these stories.
Now I'm going to be sharing an international story, and this is a personal account from a Romani woman in the Czech Republic. I was offered a well-paid job as a receptionist in a luxury hostel in Prague by my wealthy cousin, who I did not know well. He was family after all, so I thought I could trust him. That was my first mistake. Little did I know, my cousin had something else in mind for me. Instead of experiencing the new challenges of being a receptionist, I found myself as a prisoner. I fell into his trap. As I later found out, this was not a new game to him. There was no job. There was, however, a friend of his who wanted to buy me for his trafficking ring. After I left for Prague, he shortly sold me off to my new captor, dumped like useless trash. They locked me up in a house with other women who are also Romani. Every day, they would drive me to an area near the German border where I was forced to provide sexual favors to as many men that would come, up to 6 times a day. My pimp told me that I had to pay off my debt that I incurred when he had bought me from my cousin for all the traveling expenses I had ended up costing him. I was his slave. Thankfully, my story did not end there. After months of living in the same destitute routine, day after day, I finally found hope. One day, I had a client who was different. He looked at me with eyes of compassion, as if, yes, I too was a human being. He did not want to touch me like the other men. After a long process with the help of the police, he helped me and several other girls escape. The men who formerly bought me fled before the police could arrest them. After I was finally free, I came into contact with my family. Now I live in the United Kingdom with my aunt. To this day, I still have recurring nightmares of being prisoner again, of those men finding me. I never want to go anywhere alone. The fear I experience on a daily basis is my reality.
Hi, I'm Rebecca York, and I'm a junior peacebuilding major here, and this is my story. When I was first asked to share my story, my entire being rebelled against the idea. First of all, there was no way I was going to be that vulnerable in front of my fellow peers and professors. And second of all, I did not feel comfortable sharing my story in the context of a week dedicated to bringing sexually violent acts to light. My story is different, and in my opinion, cannot be categorized as sexual violence. While I did experience the physical and emotional and psychological feelings of one who has been assaulted, I was not actually touched or physically harmed. I talked about these hesitations with one of my really close friends, as well as the campus pastor, Lana, and both of them encouraged me to still share my story, which is why I'm up here today. There's a lot more that I could say, but I'm just going to let my story speak for itself. It happened at the end of my sophomore year during finals week. Everything was going smoothly, and I decided to go for a run before my theater final that evening. It was a really nice day, so I decided to run outside, which was not an unusual occurrence for me. After my run around the cul-de-sac up near College Avenue, I was feeling extra motivated and decided to run down Parkwood Drive before going back to my dorm room. As I was running down the left side of the road, I saw someone walking in the parking lot near the high school, and I didn't really think anything of it because it was around 4, so I just figured he was getting ready to go home after a school activity. I continued on my run, and when I was running back, this time on the same side of the road as the high school, he was near the road, and he seemed to be trying to say something to me, but I couldn't really hear him since I had my headphones in. So I stopped and took my headphones out, and we were close enough for him to be able to ask me a question, but he just kept moving towards me, and so my instinctive reaction was to keep moving backwards. I took my headphones out and said pardon, and as he was approaching me, his eyes were wandering and his hands were out as if he was going to grab me, and he asked me, "Where do you live?" Something inside of me kind of clicked, and I ducked out of his reach and started running through Parkwood's apartments back to my dorm. I was really shaken up, and I just kept looking over my shoulder to make sure that he wasn't following me. And thankfully, one of my friends was on her bike, and she was going back to her apartment, and she saw me and stopped and noticed that something was wrong. And I was shaking, and I couldn't really say anything, so she just held me in an embrace. And once I calmed down, I was able to tell her what had happened, and she encouraged me to then talk to either campus security or an RD. There just happened to be an RD walking around in Parkwoods, and so she stopped him, and we kind of told him what happened, and he then encouraged us to go to Fizz Plant and report it. I was really shaken up at this time. I was shaking. I don't really remember what I said to my friend or the RD or campus security, except that I didn't want this boy to get in trouble. When I was asked to give a description of the boy who had approached me, after my friend called me, campus security called me again, or after my friend took me back to my dorm room, campus security called me, and they told me that I had given a very similar description of the man who had assaulted a girl on a run near the fountain just last year. Well, that ended up not being true, but at the time, it really scared me, and I was just in hysterics and just shaking in my room, and I didn't know how I was gonna leave my dorm room. So I texted one of my friends who was in the theater final with me and asked her if she would just be willing to come to my room and we could go to the theater together. I wasn't really planning on telling her what had happened, but when she came to my room, she looked at me and said, what's wrong, are you okay? Like, just tell me what's going on. And I was still shaking, so it was obvious that something was wrong, and so I ended up telling her. And we did go to the theater exam together, and everything was fine, and I could go into a lot more detail about the rest of that evening and the rest of that week, but I don't really think those details are that important. All that I'll say is that I didn't eat or sleep for 3 days, and I had terrible nightmares, and sometimes I still do have them. However, through a series of events, after school ended, I got in contact with someone from Student Life, as well as Jane Ellen Reed, because after I'd ID'd the boy, I did not want any charges to be pressed, and I had been in contact with campus security and Harrisonburg police, and I made it very clear throughout the entire process that I didn't want any charges being pressed. Instead, I wanted to be able to talk to him. I wanted to hear his side of the story. And I also talked to my RD at the time, who was an incredible support to me and made everything that happened possible. So about 2 weeks after school ended, 3 days before I was going to leave the country, I was able to have a circle process with the boy, his family, my RD, and Jane Ellen, who facilitated it. They were able to hear my story, and I was able to listen to how this entire situation had affected the parents and also the boy. I found out that the boy who had approached me actually had a disability that I had no idea about. And just being able to hear him say, I just wanted to talk to you, as well as understanding the full context of the situation, I was able to completely let go of that fear that had been haunting me since it happened. I know that if I would not have been able to have this opportunity, I would still be living in fear. I'd be scared to walk out of my apartment, scared to walk on campus alone. And while I have let go of all of that, I'm still working up to being able to run again, but I know that I have grown through this entire process. And that's why I'm sharing my story today. So many times women are scared to let their voice and story be heard and underplay the effect that even inappropriate words have on them. We need to be in conversation with each other, giving ourselves voices so that maybe, just maybe, sexual violence can be eradicated. I guess all I'm trying to say is that there is hope. No matter how insignificant or serious you think your story is, it needs to be heard. You are significant simply because you are a beautiful creation made by God, and that is what makes your story important.
Let's take a moment of silence, please, just to think over the stories we've heard. I'm going to ask you to stand now and join hands as we say a prayer of healing for our community. Let's pray. Our gracious and mighty God, we call upon your name because we know you hear our cries. We ask for your healing presence to be with each and every person here today. Please, Lord, touch those who have been hurt. Lord, we know you are righteous and merciful. Return our souls to your rest. Wrap us in your arms and heal our brokenness. We honor you alone, and we thank you for the healing that you will bring. We ask for all of this For Christ's sake, amen.